Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural, and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Thanks for coming along tonight, where John Barilaro makes an important first visit to the Sydney Institute. He's well known to you all. I'll introduce him briefly, but he's had a pretty stunning career and risen very quickly. Elected to the seat of Monaro in 2011, a minister from 2015, and from late 2016, the leader of the New South Wales Nationals, the Deputy Premier of New South Wales, and also the Minister for Regional New South Wales, for Small Business and for Schools. And tonight, the Deputy Prime Minister is going to speak for us on Snowy 2.0. The other one comes later. Nation Building in Action. Minister, you're very welcome.
Well, good evening, and can I start firstly by acknowledging the traditional owners of these lands and pay my respect to elders past and present, and of course I extend that welcome and that acknowledgement to all Aboriginal people here this evening. I'd also like to thank Gerard and Anna for making tonight very possible, and to all members of the Sydney Institute, can I say thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the 2nd of March of 2018, this year, the New South Wales government sold its share of the Snowy Hydro Scheme, its 58% shareholding, to the federal government for a total of $4.2 billion. It wasn't an easy decision. The Snowy Hydro Scheme, in my electorate of the Monaro, brings with it a history that is often referred to as the birth of modern Australia. The scheme brought together a workforce of more than 30 nationalities and has been seen as a monument to multicultural Australia. Now, the work required thousands of skilled and unskilled workers, most of whom were brought from a war-ravaged Europe. Over the 35 years of construction, the workforce of 100,000 people included migrants from many countries such as Norway, Germany, Britain, Czechoslovakia, the Baltic states, Hungary, Malta, and, of course, my parents' birthplace of Italy. My own parents, Domenico and Anna Maria, arrived from Italy in 1968 to a foreign land with no family support and an unfamiliar language, but with a desire for a better life and for children they would hope would soon follow. And it's no surprise that they chose that part of the world, the southeast part of New South Wales. The great opportunities that was left over, the legacy of the Snowy Scheme itself and the ever-expanding capital region made complete sense. And the legacy of the original Snowy Hydro Scheme is well documented. So Snowy Hydro 2.0, in my view, will now bestow on regional New South Wales its greatest legacy yet. In our first term of government, we inherited, of course, a broken state. We performed what I would say the necessary surgery. The budget was in absolute turmoil. When we inherited those books, all we could see was debt and deficit. But today, the New South Wales economy has been restored to its proper position as the nation's leading economy. We have a first-class infrastructure pipeline that is creating jobs, providing opportunities for skilling our young people and ensuring New South Wales has the roads, the pipelines, the transport and communication networks, the schools, the hospitals, to meet not only our current need, but of course our future demands, no matter where you live in New South Wales. And there are challenges and frustrations when you undertake such a large amount of large-scale infrastructure work. But people do recognise some pain is necessary for the ultimate gain. And regional New South Wales, of course, is at its forefront. 66% of all new jobs created in regional New South Wales are now full-time. We have strong employment growth and low unemployment rate in the regions of 5.7%. Female employment growth is going gangbusters, accounting for 70% for total regional employment growth. And residential building approvals in regional New South Wales is at a record high at $4.5 billion just in the year past. In our second term of government, we have delivered on an investment boom, the likes which has never been seen before, not only here in Sydney, but of course, regional New South Wales. We've done this through a number of different programs, such as the $1.6 billion Regional Growth Fund, which activates local economies and improves local amenities. And what that looks like is very, very different depending which community you are part of. Sometimes it's the small things, from fixing the local sporting field through the funding or funding for your local art gallery, museum, library, or children's playgrounds. We've been able to step in and do just that through what we call our Stronger Country Communities Fund. And larger programs, such as our Growing Local Economies Fund, supporting 38 identified regional economies and co-investing with businesses and communities in major enabling infrastructure that secures and grows our local economy. Only 2 weeks ago, my deputy leader, Niall Blair, Minister for Industry and Minister for Water, was up in Broken Hill to help lay the last pipe that now guarantees the people of Broken Hill, the city of Broken Hill, that will never run out of water again. And this was only possible because of the investment by the New South Wales government, a reservation of over $1 billion to make sure we improve water security and quality right across regional New South Wales. We also recently announced a regional New South Wales investment attraction package. Relocation grants of up to $10,000 per worker are now available to help attract skilled workers to regional New South Wales to underpin and support businesses in the regions. These grants will help businesses meet the cost of relocating employees, such as a temporary accommodation. You cannot provide this support without a strong economy and the money to make that happen. A strong economy also means that we can respond to situations that arise and lend a helping hand when people need it most. Many of our farmers are going through a tough period. Some have had not rain for more than 18 months and have destocked. That has an impact on communities, not just our farmers themselves, but also, of course, the well-being and the mental health of individuals and families connected to the land. Drought also has a devastating impact on our regional towns. Local businesses are under pressure. Kids are pulled out of childcare and often other after-school activities. The entire supply chain slows down. Our healthy surplus meant that we were able to respond. We had the cash ready to move quickly and decisively to do what we could for those that needed it most. But we also have the resources to help during the recovery period when that eventually arises. In July this year, the Premier and I announced a New South Wales Government's 20-year economic vision for regional New South Wales, or in more practical words, principles for future investment by our government. It's a blueprint for future investment in the regions. It will direct the New South Wales Government's future investment and decision-making to promote sustainable, long-term economic growth in regional New South Wales. Backed by the $4.2 billion that we've received from the Snowy Hydro sale, which is now the Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund, regional New South Wales is poised to take advantage of future opportunities for growth. So let me briefly take you through some of the vision itself. It lists seven key principles. One, improving travel between regional centres and from cities and international gateways. Investing in freight networks, which will increase the competitiveness of our key regional sectors. Affordable, reliable and fast internet. Reliable, accessible water and energy. A skilled labour force that meets current and future needs. Recognising each region's natural strengths and competitive advantages. And ensuring our planning system promotes commercial opportunities. Now, none of these will come as a surprise to any of you. They are necessary for a modern economy. And we know we need to lift our game to ensure our economy remains strong and resilient, not just for today, but for the future. The vision also sets out strategies for action around all seven of these areas. We believe in place-based measures are best to boost jobs and investment. By leveraging investment with the region's natural strengths and competitive advantages, we can turbocharge our region. So the Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund is a once-in-generation opportunity for regional New South Wales. Now, unlike a previous agreement under our Restart New South Wales Act, where regional New South Wales has been receiving 30% of all available money from the proceeds of leasing assets in this state, the Liberals and Nationals government have agreed that 100% of the $4.2 billion will be invested in regional New South Wales. It is an incredible win for country New South Wales. For those that believe that the government has been too focused on development in our cities and metropolitan areas, I'd like to say to those living in regional New South Wales, it's your turn. We will invest money wisely in nation-building programs now so that they don't just sit on paper, but they actually become a reality. We will invest in visionary projects that will deliver for regional New South Wales for generations to come. Big picture programs, big ticket items that reflect the legacy of the original Snowy Hydro project itself. We've developed clear guidelines for the use of Snowy Hydro funds to maximise the impact for regional New South Wales. Projects must align with the government's 20-year economic vision for regional New South Wales and other key strategies. Projects must be in regional New South Wales or strongly benefit the regions. Only large-scale projects expected to generate significant economic and social benefits will be supported. These funds must be used for state-building infrastructure that goes over and above business as usual for the state government. In summary, we will focus in five key areas. First, water security in priority catchments. The vision identified water security and safety as a priority for regional infrastructure investment over the long term. In simple terms, we're going to try and drought-proof regional New South Wales. Past state infrastructure strategies have recognised water security as a critical need for regional New South Wales and have nominated the Hunter, Gwydir, Macquarie, Lachlan, Richmond and Bega as the highest investment priorities in the next decade. Drought conditions in New South Wales highlight the importance of investing in water infrastructure at a regional and catchment level to increase community and industry resilience. Water security will provide regional New South Wales with resilience, relieving the economic and mental pressures farmers face during times of drought. But the right investments will also give workers, companies, investors peace of mind. On top of water security infrastructure, the other investment priorities will drive big picture projects to support local economies and grow industries, keeping dollars flowing through regional communities, which is incredibly important during times of drought. Again, my deputy, Niall Blair, is developing regional water strategies across priority valleys to determine the best solution for each catchment area. Now, a vital piece of that work will be to feed a pipeline of projects for consideration under the Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund. And we are also developing business cases to improve water security, starting with the Lostock to Glenis Dam pipeline in the Hunter. Second, we will invest in what we call digital connectivity. Our ambitious target is to make New South Wales mobile phone black spot free. Poor mobile coverage remains one of the biggest issues faced on a daily basis for people living in regional New South Wales. There is nothing more frustrating than the inability to send or receive a call or email when you need it most. Unreliable connectivity for businesses can mean lost opportunity and even lost income. Most importantly, in times of emergency and need, it can be life or death. This is simply not acceptable. Although a federal responsibility, the urgent need for internet and mobile connectivity in regional New South Wales has meant that New South Wales Liberals and Nationals government has stepped up. Since 2014, we have rolled out our own connectivity program, leveraging $120 million of investment from the federal government and the telcos, building over 180 towers across regional New South Wales. Digital disruption is here and presents a huge opportunity for regional communities and regional businesses, and we cannot afford to be left behind. Faster, cheaper and more reliable internet and mobile services will bring regional New South Wales into the ICT fast lane. I want regional New South Wales to be a smarter choice for tech companies, taking advantage of lower overheads. I want agribusinesses, manufacturing business, the health industry to be able to use state-of-the-art technology to improve productivity. Beyond our mobile black spot program, we are also developing business cases and trials that will explore the development of regional data hubs, high-capacity backbone data links from regional centres to Sydney, connectivity to help agribusiness to improve their productivity, and better access to data that will help businesses to save money and improve services through technology. Our third area and focus will improve passenger road and rail, making regional travel faster, safer and easier between regional centres and to metropolitan areas, and improving regional freight networks to global markets and gateways to increase exports is another priority of this government. So faster train travel for passengers is something that has been often talked about, particularly where I live. The Premier, in her address to the Sydney Institute earlier this year, said she firmly believes that fast rail should be included in the next generation of nation-building regional projects. And I absolutely agree with her. Faster rail brings huge economic potential to our regional towns and cities that are on the fringe of Sydney. It has the potential to ease congestion and take the pressure off the housing market here in Sydney. It also has the potential to bring new investment, new businesses and visitors to our regions. Now, I'm pleased to say that we are now investigating faster rail services right across a number of key routes, including the Canberra to Sydney corridor, reducing travel time from Canberra to Sydney by rail under 3 hours is a game changer. Our fourth area and focus will improve freight linkages to global gateways. New South Wales is the largest food producing state, and much of this is produced, of course, in regional New South Wales. Produce from New South Wales farmers is world renowned as being high quality. Our brand is fresh, and getting product to market as quickly as possible is essential, of course, for perishable goods. We know that air freight is the fastest, most reliable way to move our exports. But both our key international freight airports are actually here in Sydney. So international freight airports would open up opportunities for regional New South Wales to access high-value markets, which is critical during the current drought. So on the international market, our farmers should be price makers, not price takers. So the right infrastructure investments could help to make that happen. That's why, with the Snowy Funds, we are investigating air freight connectivity in key regional areas so we can get our high-value perishable products from paddock to plate into key international markets quicker and easier. Our produce is the best in the world, and we want to see it in more homes and restaurants all over the world. So the key to this is international freight airports located in regional centres. And fifth and finally, we will establish what we call the business activation precincts, and we're starting that in parks. The vision included a commitment to provide an attractive environment for businesses to invest in regional economies. In July this year, the Premier and I announced that parks would be the state's first special activation precinct, encompassing land adjacent to the inland rail route and the existing east-west rail line. For investors, this means access to unencumbered employment lands, streamlined planning approvals, investment in enabling infrastructure, and targeted financial incentives. Parks is an example of the type of precincts that will be established right across regional New South Wales, with financial incentives and infrastructure in place to attract and activate investment and create local jobs. The special activation precinct model is unique in blending both government investment and local planning reforms. We'll also invest in upfront infrastructure planning, environmental and social impact studies required to implement and streamline planning approvals. Now, this work will provide investors with certainty and lay the ground for the work to attract new jobs and economic growth to parks and the Central West. This work is already underway and will complement work around air freight connectivity, of course, in regional New South Wales. Now, if asked, what are the main reasons for attempting such an enormous undertaking? It is the focus on our young people in the regions. My role and that of my party is to do whatever we can to provide a secure future for those that will be working, living in our regional towns in generations to come, our regional youth. In regional New South Wales, youth suicide is 66% higher than metropolitan areas. Accessing mental health services compared to the cities can be extremely difficult, particularly seeing a specialist in time needed. Ice consumption is at epidemic levels, with access to rehabilitation services few and far between. Unemployment rates for young people remain far too high, with many leaving their homes to find work in the cities. The net impact on our regional towns is immense. So families lose their sons and daughters, grandparents miss watching their grandchildren grow up, and our local town loses the very people it needs to sustain it in the future, people who can maintain our values and make our regional houses homes. Necessary skills training, which might allow a young person to remain and work in regional New South Wales, can sometimes mean hours of travel to the nearest major centre. That is, of course, if transport is available and affordable. So what can we do? Firstly, we need to recognise that these issues should be front and centre as we approach our third term. We also need to acknowledge that these issues are largely within the remit of the state government. So this buck stops with us. And I'm not suggesting that these programs don't already exist or that they aren't effective, but I do believe we can do more and we can do better. Prevention is the best cure, and the one thing is certain. If your town is growing, new industries are arriving, local businesses thriving, and our education and skills sectors training in your training young people for real jobs exists locally, we can certainly provide the support needed. The Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund isn't just a $4 billion investment in key economic areas. It should be seen as an investment in our young people, in the regions, for the generations to come. Regional New South Wales has many of the ingredients to capitalise on global megatrends, which are shaping world economies. We produce quality goods. We are high in demand by the Asian middle class. We have world-class beaches, national parks, picturesque landscapes, which are coveted by tourists and residents alike. And we have the ability to take advantage of new technology in sectors such as freight and logistics, renewables and ag tech. Many of our regional centres have room to grow, draw in more investment and attract skilled workers, as well as provide job opportunities for our children today and for tomorrow. We want our communities to have access to sporting and cultural facilities, enhancing a sense of community and connectiveness. By 2038, we could boost the population in regional New South Wales by more than 170,000 residents, add over 260,000 jobs beyond the growth we already expect, and see gross regional product grow to $75 billion. That is $17 billion over what is already currently forecast. For the people of regional New South Wales, this is your turn. The $4.2 billion Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund will ensure regional New South Wales continues to receive the investment it needs that makes our communities a great place to live, raise a family, start or expand a business, or just visit. We'll be investing every dollar, as I've laid out today, in our communities, improving water security to drought-proof this state, and enhancing mobile phone and digital connectivity to keep our communities safe, improved and faster rail, better freight connections to get our passengers and products where they need to be sooner, improving freight linkages to key global markets, and driving productivity, economic growth, and long-lasting employment opportunities through our special activation precincts. I am personally determined to leave a lasting legacy of strong, sustainable, and vibrant regional communities. The Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund is an investment in our young people in the regions, building the business foundations that will provide a secure future for those who live and work in the regional towns for the generations to come. We will use the legacy that we've created through Snowy, the original Snowy, over the past 60 years, an important infrastructure project just as important to the energy market today. The legacy left a multicultural migrant community that brought the skills that went on to build the nation's capital. But more importantly, the skills that remain today that have built the foundation, businesses and industries that have supported a region for decades. On that legacy, we will build, in honour of our forefathers, the opportunity for regional New South Wales for the generations to come. Thank you very much.
Many thanks to the Deputy Premier for an important address. And so we're coming to questions and discussion, and here we go. Now, you've done pretty well to get that money, I have to say. It's a lot of money. So you've got the Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund and, in addition, the Regional Growth Fund. Now, as I said, you've done well, but I think it's fair to say you talk about original Snowy. As I recall, the Snowy was essentially financed by taxpayers in the cities, so you've done pretty well. It wasn't this government. Yeah, there were some rural taxpayers, but most of them were in the cities. Now, I understand with the Regional Growth Fund, you've got a board that's going to look at how that money's distributed. That right? But what about with your Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund? Are these decisions of the cabinet, or does the cabinet take advice from beyond the public service? How's it going to operate? It's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Gerard, firstly, my Liberal colleagues are upset that every dollar is going to the regions, and we've been having to negotiate that deal, and it is significant. But if you look at the investment in New South Wales from 2011 and over the forward estimates, This in excess of $200 billion being built in infrastructure in New South Wales is significant, unseen before. But I can say that in regional New South Wales, our piece of that pie is closer to $50 billion. So this is just another opportunity. But this time, not business as usual, not building hospitals and schools. It's actually look at that generational, transformational infrastructure that actually will be a legacy left to the next generation. And hopefully they'll look back and say, you know, thank goodness for the Berejiklian Barilaro government, if they can say those two names, back in 2018, that they had the foresight to invest in infrastructure for the generations to come and not squander the opportunity. And I think that is important. Getting money out the door, that was the challenge from Treasury. They said, you can't spend it. Well, I have. It was something like almost $1 million a minute last financial year, and we were able to achieve that. But we're building the infrastructure that is so important, and I think that is important. But the process will be all the agencies that we've identified, transport, water, of course, at the telcos, will put forward the projects, and as long as they meet the guidelines, it'll go through a cabinet process, the Premier, myself, the Treasurer. But it'll also go through Infrastructure in New South Wales, who, of course, in this state has been the leader in backing the government's infrastructure delivery program. So that gives us the framework for certainty, gives us the framework that the investment is generational and it meets the guidelines, but most importantly, that it is there is a return on investment on behalf of the taxpayers of New South Wales.
Okay, thank you. So there's a question here.
Thank you, Minister. Most enjoyable and a great presentation. I have a question with regard to the infrastructure, the road system through to Jindabyne. Given the enhancement of Snowy Hydro, what's going to happen in terms of that road? It's not entirely safe right the way through. You need good right-hand turning lanes. You need more passing lanes. And certainly with the enhancement of the development there, you'll need to be done before the big trucks start rolling.
Yeah, that's a very good question. The services and the infrastructure around the Monaro, Cooma, Jindabyne, over the mountains of Tumut and the valley there, that's all going to have to be addressed. If you're talking about Snowy 2.0, an influx of an additional possibly 7,000 or 8,000 workers, the supply chain, the businesses that are all attached, there's no question the stress will be not only just on the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure, but the service delivery, our hospitals, our schools. And so under the Department of Premier and Cabinet, there is a team looking at all those needs so that we can meet those needs in a managed way, including identifying new residential areas to build accommodation, new commercial and industrial land to meet the needs of what will be significant industries coming to the region. So all that is part and parcel of what we're doing as a government to prepare for what is, again, a once-in-generation opportunity for the region. The Monaro Highway, Snowy Mountains Highway up to the mountains, right now there's been significant investment. Is it enough? No. But we've also announced $1 million for the feasibility study for the reopening of the Canberra to Bombala line, rail line, with an extension to Canberra Airport. Because of its now it's an international gateway, and a further extension from Bombala to the Port of Eden. We have the Port of Eden, an international gateway from a cruise terminal perspective. We've got a Canberra International Airport now, an opportunity for getting local produce on a plane onto the Singaporean supermarket shelf within 24 hours, you know, South Coast oysters. So we're looking at all of that. So we have a focus on what we need to do as a government to make sure that we invest in a way that actually backs in the investment from Snowy 2.0. It is exciting for the region. As a local born and bred in Queanbeyan, a local of the Monaro, used to always joke that you'd never ever do a Snowy scheme again. I mean, the red tape and the green tape that you'd have to go through. Could you imagine going to a town called Anamitabi and say, we're going to flood this town, we need you to move on the hill, but we're doing it for the better good. We're going to build a dam and attach that as a Snowy scheme, a hydro plan, and to generate electricity. I don't think you could do that today. You know, look at WestConnex. You know, we're disrupting people there and people getting angry with us. So the reality here is we get a chance to do Snowy 2.0. It's significant, but the opportunity for the investment in service and infrastructure will be matched.
Minister, thank you for your presentation, excellent presentation, but a brutal question has to be asked. Australia is democracy. Do you really believe that the voting public understand the macro picture that you are presenting very well?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and I think that one of the greatest challenges for politicians in this day and age, when people have switched off, they're not listening to us, is to actually explain explain the investment. And I think the best way to do that is to break it down in a way that actually affects people on a personal, individual level. When I say eliminate all the mobile black spots in this state, in the regions, I mean, and many in regional New South Wales will actually understand that. Why? Because they deal with that each and every day. If it's our emergency services responding to emergencies, you know, fires or floods, not having connectivity back to base is a problem that we've always experienced. When our kids aren't able to phone home, when you aren't able to connect for business, you know, they're the things that we live by each and every day. So we have to talk about it at a very local and personal level to cut through. Yes, the macro message is that we are investing in generational and transformational infrastructure. We do live in a time where investment decisions are designed around election cycles. This is beyond election cycle. The truth of all this is the $4.2 billion that I have under the Snowy Hydro Fund will probably not be spent before the next election. But we have to, as politicians, we have to, as community leaders, as leaders in this state, put that aside and say we are investing for the generations to come and start talking about the benefits at a very local level. Anyone that's dealing with the drought right now knows that water security is important. So building pipelines, dams, raising the walls in existing dams so that we can somehow drought-proof for the future is important. So I don't think that's difficult to cut through and talk about. Anyone that's been on our rail network in the regions know that a travel time from, say, Canberra to Sydney at 4.5 to 5 hours is not right. It's not right. Yes, we're about to procure new trains, which is one part of it, but investing in new rail, the rail line itself, straightening some of those alignments, and we can reduce that time. I think people actually get that who use that service are no different. I think the opportunity for our farmers, the idea of building regional international freight airports so we can export produce directly from regional New South Wales, not truck it into the bottleneck of Sydney or Newcastle, and the opportunity to sell it abroad. I think we can cut through, but it's simplifying the message at a very personal level, at a local level. I'm not sure if politicians have done that well.
Question up there.
Minister, with the 2.0 Snowy, what's the timeline and when does it really kick in to change, in other words, employ people, when a change will come in the area, and how much of it will be helped by state funding and how much will be federal funding?
Oh, well, I mean, the question there is Snowy Hydro 2.0 now is a federal project. You know, the New South Wales and Victoria dispersed its shares of it, and it's now up to the federal government.
It's going to affect roads, it's going to affect towns, and does that then affect the New South Wales budget?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's,
so how does it, and well, what's the timeline?
Yeah, well, look, we envisage that over the next 7 years that we'll see the influx of and the project grow. Right now, in the next couple of months, my understanding is that final business decision will be made by the federal government in relation to the investment to the next stage, and that is to invest whatever it takes to get 2.0 underway. Of course, there are still a number of environmental issues that we have to work through, but attached to that, once that business decision, that final investment decision is made by the federal government and Snowy Hydro, then we will be able to map against that through the work we're doing in Premier and Cabinet when we will need to put that investment in place. But for instance, we've already made a commitment to upgrade the Tumut Hospital to the tune of $50 million. Why? Because we know we're going to need that added service up there, and it'll be no different probably to the Tumut High School, the road infrastructure that leads into the mountains, and of course, the idea of more residential and commercial and industrial land. All those decisions will be made in time alongside in parallel with the final business and investment decision of Snowy Hydro.
Just talk.
Minister, what measures have you got in place to make sure that if Labor gets in at the next state election, they don't just waste the money as they tend to do?
Yeah, so we didn't want to make this too political tonight, but we can now. Look, the truth of it is, you're right. I mean, we've seen in the past investment in the regions hasn't been there. And the truth is, if you compare our track record, and I just touched on a minute ago, that from 2011 and over the forward estimates, you know, close to $50 billion will be spent in regional New South Wales. Compare that to the same period or the previous period under Labor was $23 billion. So the reality is we often lose in the regions. So part of the budget papers this year, we attached to it the Snowy Hydro Legacy Fund. That money is now legislated to go to the regions 100%. So if any future government wants to take this away from regional New South Wales, they'll have to fight whatever government or whatever opposition and whatever members of parliament on the parliament. That is the best we can do. At the end of the day, through the House, you can change any decision and any legislation, but goodness gracious, they're going to have to do it and have a public fight about it.
Minister, thank you. Given your ambitions for water in Western New South Wales, given your ambitions for water, in selling your controlling interest in Snowy Hydro to the feds, were you able to get any commitments that in future Snowy Hydro might put a little more weight on the original purpose that the Snowy scheme was built for, which was for water to the west, not solely electricity generation?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. What we have said in our negotiations and with the transaction is that the issue around water, especially down the Murray and down the Murrumbidgee, has to be protected. The loss of water to the irrigators is not acceptable. But does that mean we can do more? Not sure. The reality is, at the end of the day, when it comes to water security, we've got to manage in a more efficient way the water resource. There is no question we have an issue in this state around water, and we're seeing that through the drought. The Murray-Darling Basin Plan identifies that and identifies opportunities for investment. And what we're talking about is through water security isn't just about what's happening up in the Snowy, but to your point, that was the original plan. That was the original plan. The side benefit was energy production. Every year, this time of the year, we see the water flows down the Snowy River. The release happens, and that has to continue. We also have to protect those catchments from carp and other introduced species as well. So there's a lot of decisions to be made around water as part of the Snowy scheme and Snowy 2.0.
I'm old enough to remember many regional policies in New South Wales. There used to be the Better Storage Development Region at Albury Wodonga. In the past, it was mainly emphasizing job growth and the transfer of population. The project you describe is mainly about infrastructure spending. I was wondering whether there's any provision in these plans to make sure that the jobs actually be moved to the countryside, to the regional areas as well, because infrastructure spending will create jobs while the infrastructure is being built, but where is the guarantee that it will continue to grow these regional centres?
That's a very good question. I'll use the old cliche line, if you build it, they will come. We have to build regional cities. And you know, often people refer to anyone that moves from the city to a regional centre as a bush change or a sea change. Well, the truth is, it isn't. It's actually a city change. Someone that moves to Tamworth or to Orange or to Dubbo, Bathurst, Wagga Wagga, they are cities, regional cities, which actually are part of the spine of regional New South Wales. And they already are seeing great organic growth on their own with small investment by government. But what we want to do is turbocharge those regions. And you can do that by building the infrastructure. But this program, the money that we're in the process from Snowy Hydro, is an infrastructure plan and an infrastructure program, building what I would say that environment that is going to allow for investment. But we have other programs like an investment attraction packages to attract businesses, to offset payroll tax, to offset, of course, the cost of transferring skilled workers and covering some of those costs. We have other programs that incentivise businesses, and of course we've got a decentralisation program of public sector jobs moving to the regions. So we believe that if you build not only communities, and that is building the infrastructure like roads and schools and hospitals, and you then have connectivity. The key is connectivity, be it digital connectivity in the modern language or in the old language, it's still rail and road. And that's what we're focused on, connecting regional New South Wales to either to those international markets or to city and metro areas. One person once said, you know, we want to live in the slow lane but still work in the fast lane, and that's why connectivity is the key. I'm confident that with the investment in the infrastructure that creates that fertile environment, creates great cities in regional New South Wales, creates jobs. Jobs is really what underpins, jobs and job security is what underpins growth in regional New South Wales. We want our kids and our grandchildren to remain in regional New South Wales. We want them to grow up there. We want them to study in our local universities or our TAFEs or our schools. But we also want them to have the opportunity of great jobs. And we believe that's what we're going to achieve through this.
Question up there.
Minister, can the Snowy Legacy Fund or the regional fund be used to joint venture with the private sector in projects?
My hope is that the $4.2 billion will be leveraged for investment, both private and federal, and that we turn $4 billion into $10, $15 or $20 billion. Of course it can, and it should be. And we as a government have been a great supporter of the private sector. We believe it is our role to create that fertile environment and for investment. If you think about the 511,000 jobs created in New South Wales since 2011, not a single one has actually been created by government. We've created an environment for confidence and for investment. Those jobs have been created by small and medium enterprises who have taken the risk, shown the courage, mortgaged their homes to create those jobs and be part of what is a thriving economy. So yes, the answer is yes.
Have you given some projected figures for exactly how much additional water your projections are likely to require for regional New South Wales and the source from which on a regular basis that's going to come?
Yeah, that is the big question, and I touched on it in my address this evening at the my deputy, Niall Blair, who's the Minister for Water and Primary Industries in New South Wales, and his agency have been working on and identifying areas and catchment areas in relation to where we believe is we get the best value for investment. In other words, where we know we can build a dam or connect a pipeline, that there is a water resource, firstly, that we can connect to a community. If you think of a place like Broken Hill, who have been on severe water restrictions for so many years, and a $470 million investment by the New South Wales government, with a pipeline from Wentworth to Broken Hill, 270 kilometres. We're on time and on budget. That water will flow come December this year. We've been able to identify those resources, but the reality is we're doing that work right now. That's why I said that we're painting the picture for the framework of investment. These are the areas of focus, and now we're doing the work that will identify some first investments. But those areas that I touched on, Gwydir, the MacArthur, the Lachlan, the Bega Valley, they are areas that we've done some work on and we've identified as an opportunity for an investment in this next decade.
Question up here.
Thank you for the talk, Minister. I'm interested personally, your parents were immigrants, were they?
Yeah.
Can you fill in a little bit more background?
That
sounds very interesting.
No, I think...
Well, can I add to that? Because there is interest there. And also, I guess you'd say 7 years ago, you're running a small business in Queanbeyan, and now you're Deputy Premier. I mean, how did that happen?
Well, it's even better than... Let me frame it this. I'm a university dropout. I'm a chippy. And today I'm a Deputy Premier. So if I'm an example for young people to go through vocational training, that you can do an apprenticeship, that you don't have to go to university, but you can still achieve in this state, that vocational training is a genuine pathway, first choice pathway for young people. Not only do something they love, what they're employed in, but do something they're passionate about, you can achieve anything. So I think that's the first part. But to the question...
Yep. So when you dropped out, where'd you go to?
I was at uni doing accounting. I didn't want to be an accountant, so sorry to the accountants in the room. And then I went and worked in the family business, Rilo Home Solutions. We were a manufacturer of joinery products.
But your qualification?
Is a carpenter joiner.
But you did it where?
At TAFE.
Yeah. TAFE where? Queanbeyan?
No, in Canberra. It was the CIT because we're a border community.
So now he wants to know about your parents.
Yeah, look. Look, it's the same migrant story that you hear often. My parents migrated here in 1968. They went from Italy to Germany first. That's where the work was after the Second World War. Spent about 10 years in Germany working before they decided, like many migrants and Italians, that they would go to America. Because the term was America. America just means the land of opportunity. So if they went on a particular Saturday, they would have ended up in the US. Or on a second Saturday, they'd end up in Australia. So my parents ended up in Australia, landed in Melbourne. We had a cousin in Queanbeyan, just outside of Canberra, and they decided within a couple of days to move to Queanbeyan. My father quickly applied. He was working in metalwork in Germany, but decided to do joinery carpentry in Canberra. He started his own business within 3 years of arrival. He started a company called Little Joinery, eventually to have 100 employees. So he spent his life in that business. And my mum, as usual, migrant mum, stayed at home and raised the kids. Eventually one went off to be a cleaner at the local school. So very, very humble beginnings. But they were part of that community. And my father was always part of the community, part of the multilingual centre, the multicultural centre, part of the local club, a community volunteer, always part of the community. And instilled that in all of us as young people. And I think forever and a day, I saw my father as a hero. So I grew up in my life, and probably part of my reason to drop out of uni was to go work with him in the joinery shop. But then, you know, he eventually retired and because of ill health, and I took on the joinery shop. I changed it from being a traditional joiner making kitchen cabinetry, and we went and invested in significant technology and machinery to and manufacture double-glazed, energy-efficient windows and doors. And that was our specialty, our niche product. We competed with, of course, the big national companies, the international companies, but it was a niche, unique product that we designed and that I was passionate about, and spent 20 years doing it. So my family have been small in small business all their lives, and been passionate about Australia and the opportunity that we've been given. And for them, if I go back to my inaugural speech, I do know for them the sacrifice that they made, the decision to come to a new country, and the opportunity that brought to see their, one of their children, next generation, first generation, then be a member of parliament. And of course, Deputy Premier is something that I think I've justified that decision.
Can you give any examples of government departments that are going to be moving to the regional New South Wales to attract these kind of businesses which will attract workers?
I've got the Secretary of the Department of Premier and Cabinet sitting here in the audience tonight. I would say every single agency or department should consider regional New South Wales, and you've just got to find an alignment. I would argue that the Department of Environment should actually be where the largest national park is in this state, and that is in Jindabyne, because of the Kosciuszko National Park. There is no reason. We have a beautiful facility and building up there, so you could argue that. Financial services can be in any centre in regional New South Wales. One of the decisions that I made when I was responsible for TAFE was to move TAFE Digital headquarters out of Sydney. Well, it's all about connectivity. You know, TAFE Digital is about you can study anywhere in the state, so why can't we actually have its head office anywhere in the state? And we moved it to Armidale, to prove that we could have it in a regional setting. 70-plus jobs for Armidale, significant investment from that. You see other industries aligned to it. So in my mind, I think any agency or department should be considered for the regions, because in this day and age, if we talk about connectivity, if we talk about technology, there is no reason why they have to be here in Sydney, the most expensive floor space for rent anywhere in the nation. So why not be in the regions? And the regions would welcome it. But I also want to decentralise private sector jobs. It's not always about government jobs, private sector jobs, and that is why the activation precincts, building that shared infrastructure, opening up an industrial park, building the roads, the headworks, bringing the gas pipeline or the electricity transformers, so that we actually have these precincts where businesses no longer have to traverse through, I would call, the maze of government, especially the planning agency of government, that these options are readily available for that investment. And parks is a great example of that. Why parks? Because inland rail, because of the federal government's $11 billion investment on inland rail, parks now becomes, in my mind, an inland port. You know, you've got the east-west connection, now we'll have north-south. So they're an inland port to connect to inland rail. So the opportunity for the New South Wales government is to connect into that, and that's what we're doing. And we're activating why we have an activation precinct. And we've already, my agency's already been approached by many large companies from other states to relocate the parks. Maybe my tip to everyone here is to buy some property in parks.
Minister, there's been some talk at the federal level of requiring new migrants to locate to regional Australia, at least for a certain period of time. What's your view on that?
Well, I've touched on earlier. I mean, firstly, you know, I just want to go back a step. Firstly, we've got such a strong and positive immigration story for this nation. You know, I've just touched on the Snowy scheme. You know, migrants have helped shape the Australia of today. And I think Australia is mature and Australia is modern because of what we've brought is those experiences and cultures from all over the world. So, you know, whenever we talk about migration, I don't want to talk about it in the sense that it's negative, because there's only a positive. But be it our refugees, asylum seekers, or some of our original migrants, and we are a nation that has benefited in a positive way from a strong migration. But I do accept at times that we have an issue around population and population growth, especially here in Sydney. Being able to keep up with the services and the infrastructure needs is difficult for governments. It's tax dollars that we've got to manage. But more than that, if it's at a rate that we can't actually catch up, look at the investment that we're seeing in the road infrastructure, the rail infrastructure in this state, the hospitals. There are 78 new hospitals being built in New South Wales, $8 billion in hospitals, $6 billion in schools. And that's actually only keeping up with current demand. In real terms, maybe a little bit of growth. So we've got to do something about getting people into the regions. In the regions, we want to see more growth. So there's a bit of a complex argument here. In Sydney, we want to slow down growth, population growth. So I'm not going to even talk about it from a migration perspective, but population growth. But in the regions, we want to see that growth. And we are crying out for skilled workers. We are crying out for professionals in the region. So I think the federal government's idea of a visa arrangement that relocates people to the regions has in my mind, has to make some sense. How you manage it, goodness knows. But I think it's the right approach for today.
So we're getting right to the end now. So just a final question. If you win the next election in March, is there a new agenda, or is it continuing what you're already talking about here tonight?
Well, I think tonight, you know, what we've relayed is that we have a vision beyond an election cycle. As I said earlier, these investments will happen post the next election, and you know, people will judge us on our track record. We haven't always got it right as a government, but I believe we've been a good government. You know, we're running surpluses, we have a strong economy, we're creating jobs. More importantly, we're creating opportunity for our kids here in the state of New South Wales. This will underpin the investments of the future, but anyone that knows me as the leader of the Nationals and Deputy Premier, if we are successful in the next election, when I sit down with the Premier, with Premier Berejiklian, I always start with a blank piece of paper and we rewrite the next 4 years.
Okay. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Well, look, we've had an important talk and a lot of questions today, but I've had time and been more self-indulgent. I was going to ask the Deputy Premier what's in it for Culburra Beach. perhaps nothing. But I don't know what you were like at selling reinforced glass in Queanbeyan, and obviously quite successful, but you're pretty good at selling politics, and you clearly cut through with the message, which is great to see in a politician. We've all heard what you've said tonight, and we've all understood what you've said tonight, which is important. And it is a huge investment project that's going on here in the whole state of New South Wales, but you're focusing tonight on the outcome of the Hydro Legacy scheme. So congratulations on a good job tonight, and best of luck for the future. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.